Okay. Hey, Sabrina, say something.
Hey, something.
Okay,
hi.
Good. So, why don't you introduce the show?
Oh, cool. You're listening to Work Better on KHN Radio, broadcasting from Chinatown, Los Angeles. I think on 1630 AM, and also live streaming from khnradio.org. We're your hosts, Eric Kim and Sabrina Cho. And we have two guests today. Oh, and we're broadcasting actually from Los Angeles and Berlin.
Oh, you're in Berlin. Oh,
yeah. It's 8 a.m. in Berlin, and I'm here with a really special guest, Carrie Hassler.
Whoa, Carrie. Hey, what's going on?
Hi, good morning.
I can't believe it. Last I saw you was in Brooklyn. But the last I saw you before that was at the Bellagio Buffet, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, stop.
Yeah. So, okay, awesome. Well, I can hardly wait to see you again, which I don't know when that's going to be, Carrie.
Carrie's hoping to move. Say this on air?
Sure, let's tell my family.
Carrie wants to move to Berlin, world, so help make this happen.
Isn't it really easy? Don't you need, like, €5 a day to move there or something?
It's not as cheap as it used to be. I guess it depends where you live.
Okay. well, I have a guest over here who, can you see?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you remember Devin McNulty?
Yeah.
I saw you the other night.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
He's famous, right? I recognize the name.
Yeah, he is famous. What are you famous for?
I got arrested last
week. I saw Devin when I was in
the... You're famous on the police scanner.
Amber alert.
Yeah. Oh, that's been really gnarly. I get one like every hour now. It's the same one.
So intrusive, you know?
Yeah, I know. I mean...
Poor kids, but... Yeah. Jeez.
Who?
It's a California thing.
Yeah, it's like this Amber alert when this is like a child is kidnapped and... pulled into a blue Hyundai, I think, actually.
Today, if anybody sees a blue Hyundai,
what's the license plate? Can we?
88.
We'll just
alert
wait like 5 minutes.
Cops.
I'll get another Amber alert. Devin, so you have one guest, Carrie. I thought you said you had two. You just have one?
Nope, I said I have one. Unless,
okay. But we could go wrangle one.
I have two other people who are asleep right now, but I don't. I kind of want them to still be my friend after today.
You're in Berlin now.
Yeah, very moment.
And where are you staying? Where are you waking up in? What part of
Carrie
the city?
Carrie Hassler's Airbnb apartment.
Is it in Kreuzberg?
It's in... Neukölln.
Yeah.
Okay. I only know Mita anyway. So.
But we're really close to Kreuzberg.
Yeah.
Just so.
There's a really amazing falafel place down the street. And ice cream for €1 a scoop. That's really good.
Is that really good? Because it's $1.50 a scoop. That's like what it is here, right?
Like yeah.
Scoops? Yeah.
So. But. Is it really good
ice cream or Chinese food?
Ice cream and Chinese food.
I don't trust Buck a Scoop Chinese food anymore.
You don't trust Buck?
I did once, I guess, is what I'm saying.
€1 Chinese food in Berlin.
Oh, my God. I've never thought that would ever be a good idea.
I guess rats have to get eaten, too, though.
Right.
That's terrible.
There are a lot of rats in Berlin, are there? I think.
Probably there are. Oh, okay. Hey, Eric, I have a question.
Yeah.
Are our phone lines open?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, cool. Maybe we should, tell people the number they can call in if they want to chat about anything.
Yeah, what is the number?
I'll look it up.
Yeah, I can't remember. You'd think I'd have saved an auto dial on my phone. Anyway, so while you're looking that up, Carrie is a recent transplant to Berlin, I guess. Carrie, I thought you were moving to Paris. Hello?
Yeah, so plans change pretty rapidly.
Okay, yeah, you can do that. But and you just circulate, so you know, your rail right away, I guess. So you're not...
Your visas after you're already...
Oh, really? Visa application process.
We could try. I don't know that much yet.
We'll look it up as we go.
I don't want to mislead any young people.
Devin here is a, well, I don't know, you've been doing a lot of different things, but most recently, he's made a feature film.
Whoa.
Wow.
Real hack of all trades.
Yeah. And you, the story goes that you have no formal film training whatsoever.
Well, what is formal film training?
in
that construct,
you're relatively untrained.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, but then
I don't have a degree in film studies.
Yeah, okay. Unlike some of your friends.
Yeah.
So Devin. Well, why don't you tell us something about your film and kind of like how it came to be and how long you've been working on it and kind of where you're at right now with it.
Well, okay. The movie's called The Process is the Thing, and it's a film that I've been working on for, I guess, 2 years now, and I'm just pretty much finished it. I have to fly back to Detroit next week to finish, put the last touches on a sound mix, and then it'll be in the can. But it's just a portrait of the artist process, kind of a look behind the veil. And we follow four large scale undertakings from four different artists. Marnie Weber, Matthew Barney, Matt Hope, who lives in Beijing, and Ball Nogue Studios. And it's just kind of a glimpse, you know, into differing creative processes when realizing works that are larger than one mad scientist style studio artist could realize on their own.
Right. So where are you at with the film right now?
Yeah, it's done. Just got to mix it, and or like it's being mixed right now, and just have to like go finish mixing it with our sound mixer who's in Detroit, and then it'll be done, and we're just you know, sending it out to film festivals, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
And so, how long?
Yeah.
How long did the film take to make? Inception to now.
It's creeping up on 2 years, which is crazy because like when I started making a documentary, somebody said, "Oh, you know, like to do it right, it takes 2 years," and I was like, "Oh, no, no way," you know, 6 months maybe. Here I am, 2 years out.
And how many trips to China did this, or how much China time did this involve?
Well, we probably made...
It was a lot of Beijing time or Shanghai
yeah,
time?
Yeah, it ended up being more Beijing time because, there wasn't as much happening in Shanghai, or at least we just couldn't access a lot of the interesting stuff that was happening there, if it is. And the Beijing community of artists just maybe not more inviting, but it mirrors Los Angeles, I think, a lot in that, in the openness and surprisingly attuned nature of the people that are living and working there.
Okay.
Maybe it's just because they're like high on pollution.
Yeah.
And we're just
which has
high
gotten a little bit better.
On marijuana.
Yeah.
So.
And who? So, well, I don't know, Sabrina. Like, so you know, this is our first show at the new time slot. It's really kind of loose. You know, I just showed up with Devin. You showed up with Carrie. So we were hoping that we might be able to play a clip from Devin's movie. What do you think about
that? Sounds great.
Yeah, and so Devin got to follow around. Basically, my take on it is he got to follow around some sort of interesting artists that are doing some large-scale work. Some of them are obviously better known than others, like Matt Barney, Marnie Weber. But I saw some of the Matt Hope stuff, and that was actually really interesting. Sort of, he's this expat artist that's been sort of, in a way, stuck in Beijing for a long time now.
Yeah, he's a really interesting guy, just like an interesting figure. He got his undergrad at Hammersmith or something in the UK, and then I don't know if that's the name. That's just the name of it that leapt into my mind. I'm not sure if that's the actual name of the school.
But not Goldsmith's.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. It's only Smiths.
Maybe he just is a Hammersmith.
Right.
and then he went to UC San Diego for his MFA, and that's how I met him, was through friends that went there. And he got linked up with Ace Gallery with Doug Christmas.
Yeah. Did you say oh?
I said cool.
Oh, you said cool? Oh, okay.
Oh. Yeah.
Most people say oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
We can discuss cool. that when we're not on air.
Okay.
Because, you know, yeah, I'm sure he's listening right now. He's got a little earpiece in.
The link will be in his inbox in the morning.
Yeah. The Google alert.
Yeah.
And so Matt had all these, you know, ideas for pieces that he tried to get made at fabricators around town here. And he just kept on running into brick walls with that. You know, he would call up a place and say, hey, can you make this big thing? And they would be like, well, how many do you want? And he's like, one. And then they just like hang up the phone because, you know, if it's not like 100, they're just not interested. So he ended up going to China, and initially it was just supposed to be for a month, and ended up just staying there. And what is now, I guess, his fifth year living there, fourth or fifth year. And he, you know, he has a really interesting relationship with the place in that, you know, he doesn't like a lot of aspects about it, but I think like that grind that he has with the place really fuels his creative output. And the access that he has to industrial markets and, you know, just the industry and the manpower there really allows him, you know, to make interesting stuff. And you know, he talks a lot about how, like, when he first got there, he just wanted to, you know, make these big artworks. And over the last couple of years, he realized, well, what's so great about that? You know, like making something big and dumb in China. And he's really started, you know, connecting with the culture and what the place is about and the like chaotic, rough nature of the place and taking it on its own terms instead of, you know, approaching it with Western eyes, which I think is really important if you want to get along with the place as a Westerner.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, do you want to, do you have a clip that you want to play?
Yeah, we might need to queue it up, though.
That's fine, like, yeah.
I don't have the Wi-Fi or any of that stuff.
Oh, you need that, okay.
Yeah. What is it? Skype chat. And it's... Oh, there we go. Yeah. Okay, I see it. Yeah.
Did Carrie go to sleep?
No. We're just listening. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to hear it, and then maybe we'll have some questions about just, like, China.
Yeah.
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 I haven't been there for, like, I guess, like, 9 or 10 months now, so I probably don't know anything about it anymore.
Yeah, it's probably completely changed. I mean, I heard they moved Beijing already.
Yeah.
They probably don't serve Lanzhou noodles there anymore.
Well, I think
but
they
is
might.
It, is it really inexpensive to produce and fabricate in China?
Did you say, is it really inexpensive?
Inexpensive.
Well, it's not that it's inexpensive as much. Yeah, I mean, yes, in ways it's inexpensive, but it's more like it's not even a matter of inexpensive. It's just feasible. It's possible to do certain things there that you can't do here because, you know, our industrial, the industrial arms of our society operate kind of in terms of scale and not in terms of like unique production or projects. I think there actually are some, you know, art fabrication companies that have, you know, filled the role of like Carlson and a few of the other ones that folded in the financial crisis. But overall, I mean, you can just approach certain Chinese manufacturers and just say, hey, can you make this? And because they want the work, they'll say yes without even knowing what it is. And then, you know, they'll mystify you by like getting 90% done quicker than you ever thought was possible. But then that last 10%, it just like, you either have to do it yourself or it's just like hell to get done because they do not have a culture of finishing things and making things polished and making things level and making corners square and circles round. That's just not, it's not a concern. And you know, you think, oh, well, there's all these, you know, societal factors that contribute to that. But I'm not, yes, that's true. But like, I think it's more just like, that's how it's always been. It's an ad hoc place where things just come together and people just accept that, you know, there's not a push towards perfection because what is perfection? You know,
yeah.
Like what is great engineering in a place where, you know, you can throw it together.
Right, right.
Do you feel like that is also a result of the speed at which things do move there? You know, like...
I mean, the pace is such that they can't wait around to...
Was that a veiled reference to MSG?
But also, like, in terms of constructing buildings, like, buildings go up there faster than anywhere else in the world, except probably the Middle East. And like they'll build an entire complex for people to laborers to live in while they're building the building, and then they'll just tear it down because that's how fast they can move things.
Yeah, they have 1.2 or 3 billion people there, so they have manpower and it's cheap, you know? And so they can hire a lot of people to get something done. You know, it's interesting, like, I was, you know, they can build a highway in 2 or 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked a friend of mine who is a contractor here and actually in the United States and builds roads here. And I said, you know, like, what's the deal? Like, why do roads take so long to build in the United States? And I realized, he said, well, because roads are hard to build and we have giant cars and trucks and, you know, the average size of a car in the United States is way bigger than it is in you know, anywhere in Asia. And we expect roads to last a certain amount of time, you know? So there's just like so much engineering and finishing that goes into our roads. Whereas over there, it's kind of a prefab thing. It's like, you know, they have problems, of course, they have to engineer around, but more or less they know, like, you know, the traffic patterns and the, you know, weight that they need to bear. And it's a lot less than over here. You know, every car over there is pretty small. You know, there's trucks, but, you know, not many people have, you know, Hummers and Range Rovers and stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Or even like regular cars, like sedans over here. I mean,
but that's like also saying that they are actually, there's some engineering soundness that basically they've like kind of calculated this equation of sort of engineering integrity versus speed, and they've calculated that it's actually just fine the way it is. And I don't know that that's necessarily true, because they have semis. I mean, it's not like there's like every, you know.
It's a volume thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the average car is much bigger here than it is there.
Okay.
You know, and like the average payload and weight load here is just big. And actually, their lorries that they have over there and their trucks are smaller. I mean, they look bigger because they're weighed down with stuff.
That's true, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They are actually smaller. They don't have semis over there like we do.
Yeah.
They actually don't.
People there are probably smaller.
Yeah.
I mean,
they weigh almost nothing.
And there just is like a different level of engineering, you know?
Hey. Say, you want to look into the camera here, and because you can't see Sabrina, but
how strange.
Luke!
Yeah, it's Luke Fishback. Yeah.
We now have shows at the same time.
Shut up. Opposite weeks?
No, I'm Tuesdays at midnight.
Oh, get out. Yes. Crazy. Well, I'm glad you stopped in for a little bit. So Luke Fishback from Lucky Dragons is here hanging. Is that noise coming from you? Is it your pocket?
Pocket conversations.
Well, come on back. We're gonna play a clip here from Devin's movie. Devin's got to cue it up though.
Yeah, where do I?
So I think you're gonna like here? Plug in and tell me which one that. Okay, yeah. Plug in. Is that line one?
Yeah. I guess it's line one. Yeah.
And then try playing something real quick.
Oh, okay.
Just to sound check it. You can just even hit the volume.
Okay. Yeah.
And while we're waiting, the phone number for calling in is 323-419-3873. So if you want to join this conversation.
Okay, so...
Call
Devin's queuing up. We're going to... You should pull it out while you're queuing up, though, so you can hear it, right?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I can just play from here.
It'll
be a second, I guess. I mean, like... Yeah, I'll just play it, if that's all right.
Yeah, tell me when.
All right, it's playing.
Tell me, is there supposed to be sound?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I think it might have been inspired from a childhood event. I was lying in bed and I heard someone trying to get into my window. And they kept trying and trying and trying. So I just lay there completely paralyzed in fear, not able to move. I always thought of that moment as a very important moment in my life, being paralyzed with fear. I read somewhere that
Vimeo or should have let it load.
So we need a little bit of buffering I guess to happen here.
Yeah.
All right.
It's all right.
Okay, so we're going to come back to this, Sabrina, because it needs a little time to save. But that was Marnie Weber starting to describe, I guess, the...
Yeah, her piece.
Yeah. Referencing a dream she used to have as a girl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Where she was paralyzed.
Yeah. No, it's actually something that... it's actually something that happened to her. When she was a little girl... At one point, she saw somebody come up to the window of her house, and there was bars on the window, and she saw somebody looking through the window, and she was paralyzed with fear. She couldn't move, you know, and I guess that's kind of, you know, a defining moment in her art practice.
And does the piece that you follow, is that directly reference that?
Yeah, it does.
And what is the piece?
The piece is called The Night of Forevermore.
Uh-huh.
And it's a video piece that was staged at HR. And she created this tableau vivant, which is, you know, like a living painting in Orange County. They do this thing called a Pageant of the Masters. I'm sure you know you've heard of that, where they like stage paintings. And hers was like, you know, a painting in the manner of like a Bosch, you know, tableau
in Laguna Beach.
Yeah. And it's actually like a triptych, but all with different rooms or videos, you know? So that's her piece. And it was, you know, there's like tons of characters and she had to like make all the costumes and all these monsters, you know? So,
wow.
Yeah. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
were you playing some of that earlier? I was driving over here listening and I heard something similar.
Oh no. I hope somebody didn't already make that documentary. I didn't. No, I don't think so. Unless it somehow psychically leaked through or something.
It's probably playing on all the stations.
Yeah, all the stations right now.
Yeah. Across the world.
What'd you say?
I said across the world.
Across the world. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I keep putting my ear to the microphone thinking that I'll hear something better. Hello?
It could work.
So what do you think?
Devin, how did you start to work on this film? What brought you and the film together? Where did you first meet?
Well, my girlfriend, Danielle Ferruzzi, and I... we kind of just got an opportunity to make something, and it was initially going to be about, we like looked into making something about art fabrication in China.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we were thinking, oh, well, you know, we'll try and get into these fabricators and, you know, show how certain pieces are made and stuff. But, and we just kind of found that, once we started looking into it and going to certain, you know, places in China, it just wasn't that interesting. I mean, it's like, whatever, you know, everything everyone has is made in China. So what's great about making art there? I mean, it's not that interesting, you know? But, you know, process and, you know, the way that people shape concepts and turn them into their practice is really interesting to me and has continued to be really interesting to me even, you know, after going through my own process of making this.
Why don't we go ahead and play it and then...
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't
loaded.
And then we'll ask Sabrina about her own process as well, because
yeah,
she just wrapped up her first year at Piet Zwart in Rotterdam.
Yeah, yeah.
And her kind of her year-end show seemed to be really kind of dazzling. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, all right. Hopefully it won't. Hopefully it's loaded enough for.
And they kept trying and trying and trying. So I just lay there completely paralyzed in fear, not able to move. I always thought of that moment as a very important moment in my life, being paralyzed with fear. I read somewhere that there's no reason to be afraid of monsters if you create your own monsters. And that has a lot to do with my ideas of controlling the world through your artwork.
Everyone's like thinking about energy a lot more than they used to be. I mean, people are trying to get energy from all sorts of things. My friends had made some beer-fueled conversations about making some like cheesy gallery that was self-powered just as a joke. But then actually in China, and I saw this is actually a real thing, these public machines that people can engage with and then they do something, it seemed like an obvious resource. Maybe it's like a culturally critical resource. I'll show you, yeah, what I started with. So that was the first basic drawing on the back of a receipt, I think. And then I kind of did a more developed one on a bank slip.
That was Matt Hope, and he's talking about this piece called The People's Power Station.
It was just, it started with a drawing that I made. And I think it came in part from looking at Andrei Rublev, the Tarkovsky film, and that bell casting scene, and kind of imagining what a medieval casting setup looks like.
Much larger, and it's also structurally different.
And it's the conversation that we have, this ongoing conversation about the work or about the projects that really propels the ideas.
Dome, and it's this huge pile of stainless steel spheres that's on the side of the freeway, and Talus is the shape that sand or dirt makes when it's dropped from a predefined height, and it's the shape of the mound, the natural forming shape.
Just like, okay.
Yeah. So that's the intro.
Okay, so that's the introduction to the film right there?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So do you have some questions? Sorry, Sabrina.
No, it sounds... I mean, I just want to see the rest of it, basically.
Yeah, I haven't seen it. Has anybody seen it, Devin?
Some people have seen it. Yeah, I'm just, you know, when I'm finished with the sound mix, I'll definitely, you know,
yeah,
show it to some people. And we'll do some.
Let's watch it on my.
I want to do a private
you know, scream the HR that
yeah.
probably anybody that's listening to this is invited to.
It'll be mine.
Talking to you, Doug Christmas.
Cool. I mean, it's also interesting because the work of each of the artists that you that are in the film is obviously quite different, and I'm really curious to know more about the process from like idea conception to formal resolution.
Yeah, that's how I think about it. I mean, and I'm still, like I said, I'm still fascinated with, you know, just the nuts and bolts of like wrenching an idea out of your head and, you know, putting it into the world, oxygenating it, so to speak.
What was it like working with Matt Barney?
He's, you know, like
any like funny anecdotes? Does he have like weird pets or?
I never met any pets. For things?
What?
Like everyone says, to confirm, he's like the nicest person. You know, he's just like really nice.
Yeah.
Possibly a serial killer by virtue of that.
I met him once on a rooftop, and he was super cool, but you didn't expect it to be him because he was wearing an oversized backpack and like a baseball hat.
Really?
And I just
like
thinking,
a pot dealer?
Your wife wears a schwan.
Yeah, totally. He showed up to an interview we did exactly like that. He was wearing like a black Raiders, like Oakland Raiders t-shirt because he's a huge fan of the Oakland Raiders. A big backpack and yeah, like just a hat. And
yeah,
he did. He looked like a, I don't know, he looked like a mid 90s hip hop DJ or something, you know, like ready to audition.
Whack.
Yeah. But he
was he listening to what's that dude's name? Action Bronson. No, okay,
that is
all right. Some Vice Records rapper.
Oh, okay.
He's pretty funny. Do you know Matt Barney? Have you ever met him? Oh, okay. Bjork. Just Bjork. Have you met Bjork?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. When did you meet Bjork? Oh, okay. Luke met Bjork at a Lucky Dragons show.
But
Matt Barney wasn't there.
Was she nice? Yeah. Attentive. She seems like a nice lady.
Yeah.
How did you select the artist for the film?
Well, we just contacted artists. And we actually did we did a whole piece on another artist, Chinese artist named Xu Zhongming, and I made a short that he's in that is just like him and Matt Hope, but it just like didn't really fit in the feature. I mean, the way that he talks about his work is just not, it's not as reflexive as the other artists, and like, you know, he's I don't know. He's just like one of those artists that like just says, I don't know, I just did it, you know? And it's like, okay, well, why'd you do it? And you're like, oh, that's really funny. I don't know. And you're like, all right. So while his work is, you know, it's stunning and, you know, dazzling, and
it's pretty dazzling.
It's cool. Yeah. And it's interesting because it's like, He grew up in Sichuan, and he was a son of two card-carrying party members his dad wrote Chinese opera and his mom was an actress in Chinese opera, and he was part of the like underground Beijing scene around, you know, in the late 80s around the Tiananmen Square stuff, which actually is a really interesting music scene and art scene. There's like, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of He's friends with this guy, Cui Jin. Have you heard of Cui Jin?
No.
Cui Jin. Cui Jin is this, like, Buckaroo Banzai, like, Chinese rock star who, like, played trumpet and guitar and sang all these songs. And, I got to play you some of his songs. They're amazing. It's really, really
like
good.
What, like old Bruce Springsteen stuff or, like
trying to find something to compare him to. I'd say like more like imagine, you know, imagine Chinese, like a classically trained Chinese orchestra players hearing Talking Heads for the first time and then being like,
we could do this too. Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's what it is. Okay. You know, and it's funky and it's good. It's really, it's cool. And they made a movie called, Beijing Bastards, and it's pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah.
But how do we select artists? I don't know. It just happened, you know?
Well, I mean, you kind of were fortunate to have a variety of contacts. Actually, yeah. You knew most of them already, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, with maybe the exception of.
I knew all of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah,
except
yeah.
for like Xu Zhongming, but that was, you know.
Matt Hope. How did you know Matt Hope?
I met him through, you know, people that went to UCSD
at
the time that he was going there.
Yeah.
Which there's a bunch of really good artists that came out of that program from that time.
Right.
It's cool. It's interesting how, you know, the whole MFA system works here. There's just all these, like, I noticed there's all these, like, pockets of people that are just so interesting, and they obviously had, you know, a rapport with each other at a certain time, at a certain school, you know?
Yeah. They all know each other. It's pretty weird.
I think it's a special and kind of unique thing that maybe it's like that everywhere, but it seems like it's special here.
Do you have an MFA, Lee?
No.
Oh, okay.
Neither do I. But.
Yeah. I don't either, yeah. Do you? No, I don't.
Yeah. You have a master's.
I have an MBA, yeah.
I have a master's.
Oh, what's your master's in?
Music.
Oh, music. Oh, okay.
Oh, but it's not, it's like an MA?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Okay, so Luke has a master's in music. Okay.
It's more like business or something.
Yeah.
Go do it.
Right.
Wait, Luke has a what?
Master of Rough Arts.
Oh, sorry.
Luke has a master's in music.
Really? I thought Luke had an MFA in art practice.
No, he's just, he doesn't.
Oh.
He's comparing his music master's to my business master's.
It's a professional degree.
It's a professional degree.
So these guys are professionals.
Yeah.
And
all his other.
And they brought me along.
Yeah.
I'm not exactly sure why. I was at home, you know, as a hobbyist.
Well, I was a little bit nervous. I didn't know how the show was going to go because Sabrina and I have kind of dialed down our expectations of each show.
That's nice.
And that's why we brought you.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And then,
glad I finally made the cut. The undercut.
No, we just decided we would, I don't know, what did we say, Sabrina?
Oh, we said a lot of things, Eric. I don't know if we have time to go through it all on air.
True, yeah, we did talk a lot over milkshakes at Fred 62 a couple of weeks ago.
Mm. And then, I think we're still figuring out how the show's gonna.
Yeah.
Well, you should probably cancel the show if you ever stop figuring out how it's gonna go.
Yeah, once we figure that out, then we'll be able to.
Once we figure it out, the show's probably over.
Yeah. The thrill is gone.
And what's the point?
Yeah, because.
And is it just the canceled show with 1 hour of dry air?
Yeah, it's just radio, silence.
We decided.
But I'm excited about this new time slice, like the late night morning show.
Well, you know, incidentally, so I just found out that Luke's show is always after ours.
Oh, that's awesome.
Shut up!
Yeah. Sabrina's really psyched about that.
That's so good!
Is it a weird show? What's your show like?
It's just take other radio stations and rebroadcast them.
Oh, you like kind of cut them up and rebroadcast?
Just like the live signal, then filter it. So if you're listening to one station and you switch, then you get the same station again.
I see.
But different?
I see. So Luke rebroadcasts other stations that are actually broadcasting while his
cool
shows, but he's processing it through probably some crazy MSP setup.
We did that in Amsterdam at this art festival called Kunstfly, which means art pie in Dutch. Anyway, but we obviously didn't process any of it. We were just like pirating. We had a pirate transmitter and we were just pirating other radio stations and broadcasting it into the art pie.
So it's like essentially kind of like messing with people who are on the freeway and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm trying to get K-Rock. But like, whoa, K-Rock's down here too? Like, whoa, you know, like, yeah, that's cool. I like that idea.
Twilight Zone. Yeah, there's like, and like satanic voiceovers and stuff like that. Yeah. That would be really good. Yeah. So are you going to make an audio tour for The Hammer?
Yes.
Which one are you going to do?
The parking garage.
All right.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
well acquainted. With
yeah. So some of us at K-Chung are going to, do you know about this, Sabrina, that some of us are going to try to do audio tours for The Hammer?
Yeah, I saw those emails.
Yeah. So, I'm thinking about submitting one as well.
Yeah.
But I like that kind of like, I'm sort of in love with those Janet Cardiff tours.
Yeah.
So, but we can't do video. But I mean, we can do audio.
Yeah.
But they do really elaborate, like, in stereo audio, so it's, like, kind of, it can be either disorienting or...
Audioscapes.
Right, audioscapes, right? Yeah.
You guys know audio topography. Audioscape.
Yeah. You know how to make audioscapes, right? You're probably really good
at
that stuff.
So.
Really?
I mean, well...
You're like a sound engineer.
I don't really know what an audioscape is, first off.
Well, anything... I don't either, but if you can make a really sort of sophisticated stereo audio tour... You know, like that even could, like, by the sounds that you're listening to, sort of guide you in a variety of directions.
Well, I have Pro Tools.
Yeah. So you have a stereo. Can you mic a stereo? Stereo miking?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I have a matched pair of nice.
We got a pair for K-Chung, too.
Oh, you did? You bought one with the grant money.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, good. Yeah. It's good to have a nice stereo pair.
Huh.
Yeah. I got a pair of Sheps. They're really nice.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. No. I bought them at a garage sale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's really great.
It's my best find ever.
And then when Sabrina was here, we had some really good sushi. How'd you like that sushi? I didn't really get to do the follow-up with you, Sabrina.
I thought it was very good. I thought the first pieces that came out were too cold.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You mean the Toro? The Toro and the tuna?
Yeah, but that's just... Really nitpicky.
What's the right temperature?
But I didn't think
warm.
The temperature was right on those pieces.
Warm.
The other stuff was
because
fine.
If you get Toro warm enough, it almost melts.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, that's
oh,
really
yeah.
good.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, so, all right, so we only have 3 minutes. Like, well, tell us some stuff, Serena. Tell us about your, the wrap-up of your final project. And like, can we see this? Is there a way? Is there some online documentation?
No, I haven't put anything online.
Yeah.
Yeah, but actually, Carrie and I are working on something together for September, and we're going to be in this.
We're going to be in an art fair
in Leipzig, in Germany.
The art pie? No, the Leipzig. But you're not going to be around because I'm going to be in Paris at the middle of. The third week of September.
That's when we're in this art fair.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so.
Get the wedding coming.
Yeah, I can't. I don't think I can.
Or they could just move the wedding, and we could present the wedding as our piece.
Oh my God, that would be so great.
Yeah.
That's great. I would love to.
I actually thought up a new bar night called Birthday Party. Where you just like, you know how like if your buddy's having a birthday party and you're like, hey, my birthday is that night too. And he says, well, just just we'll make it a double birthday, or we'll make it a triple birthday, or whatever. Yeah. So we'll have a bar night called Birthday Party.
Converge.
And like, it'll just whoever wants to have their birthday party there, we'll just do it. You know.
Yes.
Yeah, just show up there, and it'll be your birthday party.
All tomorrow's birthday parties.
Yeah. So Leipzig, the Carrie and Sabrina's Leipzig show. Installation could be just a wedding, and anybody who wants to get married.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah,
anybody's wedding.
That's the first thing they've done on like Good Morning.
Or like wedding window. Yeah. It's just a window in time where whoever wants to get married, just go for it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you can marry anybody.
Yeah, you know? But in Germany.
Yeah.
Even more. That also sounds to me like a cult, but that's cool.
It would be a cult in Germany because they don't get married over there.
No,
I think Europeans are more inclined to have partners that are not—they're not legally married.
I just had dinner with a married couple last night. They were married.
Oh, really?
But some friends of mine in New York, like their parents, laughed at them when they said they were getting married.
I witnessed a marriage in Paris once, and it was way low key. It was just like we went to some official office.
That's what they do. They always do it there. And that's how you do in Paris.
They sign a paper and then
you go to the party.
They don't have a national wedding.
And they ate some
that makes sense. But they get married. Actually, you know, in the Netherlands, people get married much more frequently than you would think. And it's more of a legal sort of also tax thing because people like buy apartments and stuff like that, and it's cheaper to be officially married. So I have a friend like married, and she still calls this guy her boyfriend because she's like, we're not really married. I mean, like, yeah, on paper we're married, but she's like, yeah, my husband.
Is divorce more common too?
I don't know, because like once you buy a house together, it's probably, like...
But this is common in Stockholm, too. Not that people get married, but that they move in together really quick because of the cost of real estate.
Yeah, and then what happens?
And then when they break up, I think they sell the apartment, or they sublease it, or...
It's probably, like, a lot harder to break up then, because it's like, oh, not only do you have to go through the breakup, but you also have to go through selling your house.
That's terrible.
Is that right? All right, I think that's all the time we have. We got to let Luke have his show here because we're neighbors now. So, all right, so, well, we'll be back in 2 weeks and we don't really know what it's going to be like.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm going to be in Venice, I think, so.
Oh, really? Wow, a report from Berlin and then a report from Venice. Okay, sounds great.
Cool. Have a good night.
Okay. All right. Happy. Talk to you soon. Happy bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye,
Luke. Bye, Devin.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye, Sabrina.
Thank you.